How about a Blake Wheeler update to start?
Yeah, Blake won't be in the lineup tomorrow. We'll list them still as day-to-day, and we're hopeful that he'll be back in against LA.
Are you surprised it's a little worse than you first let on, or?
No. You know, it just hasn't gotten to the point that makes sense to put him in.
And Andrew Ladd?
Yeah, he's good. He'll be fine for tomorrow.
Anybody else? No?
Matt Halaschuk, how close is he
sort of? So Matt, we were hopeful for sometime early March. We're still on track for that. Still got to get to the point that he feels comfortable, and then we got to get him back on the ice, and then so that I don't know how the days play out with that, but he's still on track for early March.
You had mentioned that if you saw the forward depth get to a place where you're comfortable with it, you might make a move with Dustin back to the blue line. Does Eric O'Dell's presence here do anything to change that for you?
Not yet, no.
Do you anticipate getting Eric in tomorrow?
I haven't made that decision yet.
Back to
part, and part of it is just so I'm not blowing you off all the time with these things. I'm going to put Eric O'Dell in. I got to take somebody out. So I want to have a conversation with that person first before I say yes. Then I don't have four guys wondering who's coming out. Unless, of course, I want four guys wondering who's coming out. That's a different, when you're trying to get a different emotional response. But that's why I don't go any deeper into that.
Has that whole process changed a little bit since you first came into the league? Like, there was a time when a guy would get called up and if the coach wanted to put him in and take somebody out, he would do it. And it seems like coaches, you know, are a little more reluctant to just bring a guy in from the American League and take an established NHLer with a big money contract out of the lineup.
Well, in this specific instance, I don't know that a big money contract would be coming out of the lineup.
Well, they're all big money to us, right?
Yeah. Well, isn't that the truth? And there was a difference then. Those guys, when I first came in, like waivers were definitely on the side of the team, right? Recallable waivers, just kidding waivers. You could move guys around all the time. That part was easy, and that was also part of the culture of the game, right? He lost two in a row. One of the guys in the fourth line knew he was getting it. It's changed. I think it's just harder to move people up and down, so the culture changes. You don't take guys as easily in and out of the lineup as you used to.
Does that make it harder for you?
No, not at all. That's not a problem, pulling a guy out of the lineup. It's hard. The hardest decisions to make when you got a guy, especially if it's an older guy, and he's done absolutely everything he could. Those are the tough conversations. You know, when a guy up in the lineup, and I've sat the captain of my team out, I've sat guys out, guys that are in the Hall of Fame out, they never agree with you, but those aren't quite as tough as a guy who's done everything. There's nothing more. You know, the conversation, you've done everything you could, but you're coming out. Those are tougher, I think.
I didn't get to come downstairs last night, so I don't know.
Yeah, we had security at the door.
Yeah, No. I'm just thinking about what I should and shouldn't say right now. You picked a spot right after Lowry scored, but during a TV timeout, to look like you unloaded on your team pretty good. Why did you pick that spot?
The cameras are never on you. That's why I do most of my talking during the play, because the camera's not on you. And not everybody needs to know. It wasn't just trying to get to a little bit of a different emotional level on the bench, trying to maybe break a train of thought that had settled in. We weren't moving very well, and that's all we needed to do is get moving back a little bit. And sometimes you need just to... I don't think anything I said was that important. It was I said it loud and with the appropriate amount of profanity. And that kind of hits a reset button at times.
Have you changed did you call players out in the media at a certain point in time? Can you never do it anymore? We never hear you sort of, you know, go that. Some coaches do it.
Yeah.
Did you do it at one point in time? And, you know, you talked a lot about what happened in Russia, how you thought about things. Have you changed in that regard?
Yeah, I don't know that I call anybody out anymore in the media. I never understood that, that idea when the coach goes in and says, well, I don't know what happened, go ask them. Hey, that's what I get paid to do, is just to figure out what happened. And if we weren't prepared, then I always taken that very personally. I would just say I'm a lot more direct in the room now than I used to be about all players. So I think it's easier for them, you know, and the more direct I am with them, the less anger I do it with, you know. I think early on in a career, you're very general and very angry. You're not working hard enough, you know. And I've sat outside my, and I'm not talking about it in Winnipeg, so I want to make that very clear. It's never happened in Winnipeg. But I've sat outside kids' locker rooms in the past, you know, waiting for my kids' game, and I hear the coach chewing some butt off on some 8-year-old kids or something. And it's always very general. You know, gotta get your head in it. You're not competing. So I would say I'm far more direct and far more specific about what it is that we need to do better.
Paul, St. Louis is a team that St. Louis is a team that we haven't seen too much of this season. What are the keys when going up against them tomorrow?
So St. Louis is an elite team, and they are in that Nashville range of teams. Very systemized. They've been playing the same game for quite a while. They play really hard, and then they have quite a bit of talent that's willing to do that, very deep in their forward units, and a big, strong back end. So what St. Louis does well is you watch a period of their play, you know what they're going to do, and they'll do that as consistently as they can, and they just plan on beating you with it. So it'll be about puck battles, about quickness for us, about getting to pucks first, moving it faster before they can set their forecheck. Getting in those shooting lanes before some of their skill guys can get some of those shots off. In the past, quick action off turnovers was a place where we struggled with them, that they set their forecheck on you. You don't get a puck out, and it's one pass in the back of the net. Very, very quick with some of the offense and their transition.
Paul, I could be wrong, but I think Blake Wheeler hasn't missed games since 2012. Now that you've had one without him and going to have another one without him, what do you parts of his game that aren't obvious, like his speed and his size, that you miss on this team in this lineup?
Going back, so in practices as well, very, very consistent with his game. It seemed to me that early on, and this would be true, I guess, of a lot of players, the young players are still trying to decide who they are, what they do. Most of them come in and they'll tell you they got great skills. So they start with that, and then the league beats that out of them. And there's only a handful of guys, in fact, have great skills anymore, and they're in the elite. And it takes them a while to say, well, this is what I'm good at. But Blake, right from the start, has been a bit of that power forward. You know, he's gone in, got on the forecheck very, very quick. He's beyond very quick. Like, he's shockingly fast from a dead stop to full sprint. He would be in a very elite range of guys, it seems to me. But the consistency of his game, maybe more than anything else, he's played pretty much the exact same game. And I think, and it really to a credit to him, because the game that he played, he's one of the handful of guys that would have excelled in the game maybe that this franchise plays earlier, that high-speed transition game, people are out of their routes, because he could wind it up. And would have generated some decent numbers off that and felt pretty good about his game. But he was one of the, you know, exceptionally coachable in terms of where we wanted him to use his speed, when we wanted him to control it a little bit. He's been very consistent. We miss that. Yeah, he's one of our best players. We miss all parts of his game.
Just my observation of him, but he seems like that quiet leader kind of guy that when something needs to be said on the bench, he'll say it, but he's not saying a whole bunch of stuff. Do you miss that part about him?
Oh, no, right so he is a quiet guy, mostly because he's trying to catch his breath. Like, he's not yelling on the bench. He spends everything he has every shift. His recovery's fantastic. He comes, he breathes heavy for a while, and then he goes back out. But he is, because of the body of work that he has, he does have a place in that room that he gets to say something in between periods. So we're not missing it. We got a bunch of guys doing it. We miss the player first. I mean, he's a good leader and he's been really, really consistent, but we got some good leaders in the room. Okay.